Good evening, I'm Al Vohner, and you're listening to this week's edition of The Public Eye right here on 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. Hey, this has been quite the year, hasn't it, with the campaign and the election, and hopefully some of the dust will settle. I know we've got a long way to go, and some people are happy, some people are not happy, and I can't be the judge of that, and I suppose many of you feel the same way. But my guest today is best-selling author Bill Adair. And his new book, Beyond the Big Lie, Political Lying, can you believe it? Political lying? No, not in this country. Could harm our democracy. I thought it was a great book, and I've asked Bill to join us post-election. There was so much going on just prior to the election, and so many different viewpoints. I just thought that maybe some of this might get lost in the garb. But this way, I've asked Bill to join us, and for the next half hour, we'll be talking with Bill Adair about the book and his thoughts on political lying. Bill, nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Al. It's great to be here.
You obviously must have had a similar feeling, your gut feeling over the years that not all politicians, and I'm certainly not, I don't want to say that every single politician, everybody that runs for office, has a tendency to lie. But we know, we've seen it. History has noted it that from time to time, the public, people in the political realm have not always been truthful with the public. But obviously, this must have been on your mind to put all of this between the pages of a book, right?
You bet. So a little bit about my background. I'm a political journalist. I worked many years covering politics, first in Florida and then in Washington. And I started the fact-checking website PolitiFact. And that really gave me lots of insights into politicians lying from both parties, politicians at all levels. When people think about PolitiFact, they often think about the national politicians, but we also had PolitiFact in states. So we had PolitiFact in Florida and in Texas and Georgia and Oregon. We didn't ever actually had it in Massachusetts, but we had it in many states around the country, and that showed me that lying really knows no boundaries. That politicians lie when they're mayors, they lie when they're governors, they lie when they're state legislators. And so it's really a widespread phenomenon. We're all familiar with it. There's the old joke, how do you know a politician is lying? Because their lips are moving. It's it's just very familiar. So I documented this as a political fact checker. PolitiFact is famous for its Truth-O-Meter, which is a kind of imaginary device that we used when we would complete our journalism. We would research the claims the politicians made, and then we would say, okay, where would this fit on this rating scale from true to false? And then we had our bonus rating of pants on fire for the most egregious falsehoods, and that summarized our journalism, summarized our fact checking, and that was very popular. We won a Pulitzer Prize in 2009 for our work in the 2008 election, and then in 2010 we started to franchise PolitiFact into the states, as I said. So over the years, I really began to see that lying was so widespread. And when I left PolitiFact in 2013 and came to my current job as a journalism professor here at Duke University, I realized something really interesting, that lying, although widespread and something that people are just so familiar with, is something that journalists never ask about. Journalists never ask politicians, hey, why do you lie? And so it's a fascinating phenomenon that even though it's so familiar to us, that it never gets discussed directly. And so I decided in 2020, when I completely left PolitiFact, I had been helping them with their state efforts, that I would write a book about it. And so I wrote Beyond the Big Lie to explore how and why politicians lie. And I did something that journalists haven't done, as I just said. I asked politicians and political operatives why they lie, how they lie. I dug into the stories of people who are affected by lies, politicians who have chosen to lie, and I found some really interesting things.
You know, but you would think, maybe, I don't know, back in the 40s and 50s, we had limited media resources. And I'm talking about TV, newspaper was probably, and yes, to a certain degree, radio as well, but nothing as widespread as between social media and the traditional forms of media. You would think in this day and age, you're going to, if you're on television, if you're interviewed, as I said, whether it's for a social media platform or otherwise, that you would think twice or script out some of the things you're going to say, not get yourself caught in the lie. But you're exactly right. It seems that it's very prevalent. They don't seem, ruffled by it. It's almost as if some politicians, as I said, not all, that politicians believe that the public is numb, that they're overwhelmed with information, and they won't even remember what I said, 10 minutes after the interview. But you're right. So between that and what you just said, that no one is being held to the mat. Why aren't people in the media, especially, saying to a particular politician, as you said, whether it's a local mayor, whether it's a governor of a state, whether it's somebody in Congress, U.S. Congress, hey, do you realize that these statements or these facts that you happen to present in that interview were totally erroneous? Nothing. It's almost as if you can get away with it, and no one's going to, like I said, hold your feet to the fire. And I find that very troubling. Do you?
I do, and this is why the fact-checking movement began. The fact-checking movement began in about 1990, after the famous Willie Horton ad that grew out of Governor Dukakis's experience in Massachusetts, and that led a political writer named David Broder to call for more fact-checking, and that. But that effort kind of petered out in about 2000. And then there was a resurgence starting with an organization called factcheck.org in 2003. And then I started PolitiFact in 2007. And so there has been a fact-checking boom since then. But what's interesting, Al, is that on one hand, you have this genre of journalism that is doing fact-checking, that is questioning the statements politicians say. But political reporters, the people who cover what politicians say day to day, have often been resistant to call out lies. Hmm. And this is summed up. I have a scene in my book where we have a meeting at the St. Petersburg Times, now the Tampa Bay Times, the newspaper that I used to work for that started PolitiFact. And we're going around the room, and we come to the political editor, who's a great, great guy, and we're asking each person, should we do PolitiFact? And he says, yes, I think it's a great idea. We should do it, and I want nothing to do with it. And that is typical of what political reporters think and thought about calling out lies. They don't want to do it, because to do so is to burn their sources.
Yeah.
If they call out politicians, the politicians are going to be less likely to talk to them.
Mm.
And let me tell you, I can vouch for that. Having spent much of my career calling out politicians for falsehoods, they don't want to talk to you. They don't like you. They call you biased. It's a really hard job. And so it's a great way to not make friends.
Yeah.
So I totally understand why that happens, but even within fact checking, there's a reluctance to to total up the things and say how the parties are doing. And so that's something else that I deal with in the book.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, and I want to continue along those lines, but I just want to take a quick pause to remind listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I am Al Vona. This is The Public Eye. My guest today is best-selling author Bill Adair. His new book, Beyond the Big Lie, Political Lying? Oh, God, say it's not true. Is it harming our democracy? And Bill, I guess that's the crux of the whole thing. Let me take a step back. Okay, so you get a politician who's found his voice or her voice. As you said, members of the media approach them and, you know, they give an interview or they have a discussion. And many times the reporter or the person conducting the interview knows full well that, you know, a lot of this stuff is not truthful. And as you said, what's really troubling is that it doesn't, they don't call them to the mat. But again, a subline subtitle in the book, Harming Our Democracy. I think here in the year 2024, and we just saw it with this recent election, there was such bitterness, there was such hatred, the mudslinging back and forth. And I'm not saying it never happened before. It's happened since the dawn of time. But it seems year after year, it escalates. And I guess what I want to ask you is, what happens to the mindset? What happens to the trust of the American people? Do they just come to some conclusion that, hey, I've had it. I'm not going to the polls. I'm not going to vote anymore. These people are not truthful, and government is never going to be there for the people. Is it eroding America as we know it?
Well, it definitely is eroding trust in our politicians. And you see this not just in the United States, but around the world, where there just is this anti-incumbent fervor that occurs seemingly every election, where it's basically like throw the bums out, and then the next election is throw the bums out, and then the next election is throw the bums out, because there's just this there's this lack of patience with our elected officials. And I think part of that is the perception that they're lying to us, and that we just can't trust them. So one of the things I tried to explore in the book is to look at, well, what are the motivations? You know, so if journalists never ask why politicians lie, I did. And I got some interesting answers, and some are probably what you might expect, others are not. So there's very much, I think it basically comes down to a point system, in a way, that a politician makes a calculation. Sometimes it's in the instant, sometimes it's a more drawn out process, but they make a calculation. I'm going to gain more points from lying than I'm going to lose. And the lie is an appeal to a specific audience. It might be the politician's base, it might be politicians' donors, but they are trying to gain popularity or, in some cases, money from that audience. And they believe that that lie is going to gain ground with that target audience. I quote Anthony Fauci, the former head of infectious diseases for the National Institutes of Health, and he talks about how the members of Congress, particularly members of the Senate, lied about him, and what were they after? Because it was fascinating. You know, here's a guy who's dedicated his life to public health, to trying to fight infectious diseases, and they're just lying again and again about him. What are they after? Money. They have demonized him because they're using him in their fundraising appeals. So he finally gets fed up. He goes to a hearing, and he holds up the fundraising appeals that says, help me fire Anthony Fauci, contribute $50, $100. You know, how much are you going to contribute? And that, to me, is a sign of sort of one of the motivations of lying. Another one, of course, is self-defense. Politicians' back is to the wall. One Democratic operative told me, you know, it's your last line of defense. You've got nothing else. You lie. You know, this was Richard Nixon in Watergate.
Right.
This was Bill Clinton with Monica Lewinsky. So, you know, you just lie. So that was interesting to me. And to me, what was most interesting as I wrote the book, and I think when I went into the book, I thought it was going to be more of a political analysis book. It ends up being a collection of stories that I found really fascinating. A few stories that follow people who either chose to lie or were affected by lies. And I found that really interesting. And so you get to know these characters in the book. One is a woman who has dedicated her career to public service. She's the head of an organization in the Department of Homeland Security that's job, oddly, is to fight disinformation. And she becomes the target of lies over and over and over again. And so I follow her as these lies turn her life upside down. She becomes the target of vicious online attacks. She has a stalker. She gets death threats, all because of political lies.
Yeah, and that's the scary part, Bill. That's the, you know, when people rise to the occasion, and I'm talking about in this particular case, the woman that you were referring to, someone that's, you know, that's got a backbone, somebody that says, you know, somebody has to tell the truth here. Somebody has to, you know, open people's eyes and let them know what's really going on. And then collectively, as you said, you know, this bombardment of lies and propaganda, and you know, personal attacks, it's got to demoralize first and foremost the individual, you know, who's the target of all of this. But with that said, I mean, you know, we think, well, okay, you know, that's typical of politics. They're going to do that from time to time. But then I think about things like national security. There's no question that sometimes these people go to the two extremes and they tell falsehoods that could very well jeopardize the national security of an entire nation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is why we really need to have journalism that really questions our politicians when they make claims, that look into these things. You know, when we go back to the Iraq War and the claims about weapons of mass destruction, you know, those were things where the media, I think, tried in some cases to question the Bush administration's claims about that, but had difficulty because the Bush administration was making claims about intelligence that were difficult to verify. But in the case of one news organization, McClatchy, they did raise serious questions about what the Bush administration was saying. So that's really important. And I think we do need to be skeptical.
Absolutely. And I think the public, I hate this to think that some of these politicians, you know, sit back and think, you know how the public is just so naive, they'll accept anything and I'll get away with it because it's been done for years. And I'm very good at it, or I've been coached in the right way. It's almost as if it were a script for a movie. And in fact, many of them probably do have a script if they can indeed follow along with it. We haven't got a whole lot of time, but let me ask you, in writing the book, when everything was completed, and of course you were, you know, firmly involved following those individuals and you know, bringing to light the fact that lying is very widespread in the political sphere. What to you personally, what raises fear in your mind when you have so many politicians lying? What is it that we should all be really cognizant of?
Partisan media. I am most concerned about partisan media that not only doesn't challenge the lies, but echoes the lies. And I think that we really need to be skeptical consumers of what we hear and seek out independent news sources that are nonpartisan and don't, you know, and don't cheer on particular sides. And I really, one of the things that troubled me in putting the book together, here at Duke, we did some research looking at political fact-checking. So how in how many states are there state and local fact-checkers, journalists that question what politicians say and assess their accuracy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we found there were political fact-checkers in only half the states.
Mm.
So that means that the other half of the states don't have anyone questioning politicians.
Wow.
You know, think about that. That's like politicians are free. Think it's like driving on the interstate knowing there's no risk of getting a speeding ticket,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's worrisome. I really think that politicians should have some sense that they're being watched, and it's and if all they have to think about is a partisan media that cheers them on, that's really worrisome.
Yeah, I'm surprised, and I'm glad you brought that to light. I didn't realize that. I would have thought there was at least in every state somebody, some organization, big, large, small, otherwise, who are monitoring individuals who run for office in their respective states. I know here in Massachusetts, with the past elections earlier this month, the state auditor had been, you know, barking and really urging people to go out and vote to give her more power and so she could be more transparent about what the legislature was doing. And I saw that as a step forward. So hopefully, more states will embrace that. But as you said, watchdogs, people who can bring to light facts that are, you know, being distorted, by political figures who are anything but honest. In the final few moments, Bill, obviously, Beyond the Big Lie is widely available, and I would certainly urge people to go out and buy it. And just because the election over, in fact, I think this is a perfect time because if you're reminiscing, not that too many people are, about the past election, but there was a lot of mudslinging, and I think Bill's book does bring to light a lot of the motivations, why people do this, who these people might be, and the things that they lie about. But if people want to reach out to you directly, Bill, how can they do that?
Sure. They can do it through my website, billadair.com. There's a form there. You can send me comments. And you can also follow me on Threads or Instagram, and where I post links to my writing and the occasional picture of my cats. So anyway, really have enjoyed talking with you, and I hope everyone will be skeptical consumers of what they hear. There's a lot of lying out there, and we need to be smart consumers about it.
Yeah. One last question, because I know a lot of people are thinking, "Hey, Al, ask Bill. Does he feel confident that there will be that more people, more organizations will surface who bring to light and point out and clearly point out those individuals who perpetrate lies while in political office? Are you confident that's happening or going to happen in a bigger way?
I don't know. I think that depends on a lot on philanthropy. Journalism, as we know, has been sort of turned upside down and going to much more of an NPR model. A lot of these fact checkers depend on contributions from listeners and readers. And so I'm hopeful, but we have to find new funding models for accountability journalism because the old ways are just not financially sustainable. So I'm hopeful for public support.
Yeah, and we know that many in political office, those who have been there for many, many years, have built significant campaign war financial backing in many ways. Many call it the the war chest, if you will. So we've got to be able to counter that. I want to thank my guest this week, best-selling author Bill Adair. The book is Beyond the Big Lie, a great read, really eye-opening and enlightening. And I think I would personally urge people to read it, become aware of what really is going on. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios, the WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. Any comments, questions, or feedback that you want to directly post to me, that's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the Public Eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.